Summer is a-coming. It's known for hot days, cricket, and terrible television. So rather than subject yourself to that when you finally do get your summer break, let's take a look at the TV gems now that you might have missed through the year and you might like to catch up on over a long, hot summer holiday. A little earlier, I spoke with our TV critic David Knox to discuss his top five TV shows of 2015.
Fran, here we go again, the top five for the year. It's always hard to choose these, but I've give it a go.
It's always contested and we never agree. But before we get your top five, let me ask you more broadly, how do you rate television of 2015?
Well, look, you know, we hear a lot about this being the golden age of television, the golden age of drama, and certainly there have been some terrific dramas this year. But my feeling is that 2015 had some bleak television, some bleak choices, some bleak programming. And I'm thinking of things like these renovation versus renovation shows, the food versus food shows in the reality TV genre.
So bleak, not in tone, but bleak as in you think...
Bleak is in the choices for the audience and what's offered for them. 2015, also the year of streaming television. Let's not forget Netflix and Stan joining Presto. So we're seeing more fragmentation, more niche offerings, harder to find the broad hits for the networks. But the good thing about 2015 is it was really a strong year for documentary filmmaking. And I'm thinking of things like Killing Season, the Hitting Home documentaries we saw last week, the docos on Albert's Music and Priscilla, but also some volatile docos with things like Struggle Street, really dividing the audiences.
Okay, well, let's go to your pick of the big broad hits for 2015, starting with number five. You like the SBS series called Prison Songs. Let's just have a listen.
My name's Maximilian. I'm from Darwin. I was working at my father's law firm. I had a good life, you know. It was everything in terms of opportunities that a young man could want. I've never been able to really work it out why I'd been so happy, and then in this period of 12 months, you know, I found myself angry all the time and always on the gear and being, you know, off my head. Thought that it'd be an easy fix to pull a robbery.
That's a pretty powerful grab just there. Sounds pretty compelling. What did you think was so good about Prison Songs?
What you don't hear, Fran, in that audio piece is that this was a musical. This was going from people telling personal stories and then singing about it. And they were prisoners in the Berrimah Correctional Centre in Darwin, expressing themselves through song. It was uplifting, it was cheeky, it was contrasted by the sunlight coming through the prison bars. And it looked at issues of alcoholism, domestic violence, addiction, because it's a very indigenous population up there in that particular centre. But it was so uplifting in expressing it through song.
Doing 20 laps in a pool of sweat, I do another 10 for a cigarette. Every other brother is a world away. Look around for anything to feel this day.
Waking up in Berrimah.
I missed it completely. Sounds great. Prison Songs coming in at number five for David's top five this year. David, the next two on your list are streaming, and at number four, your pick is Mr. Robot.
Hello, friend. Hello, friend. That's lame. Maybe I should give you a name. But that's a slippery slope. You're only in my head. We have to remember that.
Mr. Robot, that sounds great too.
Mr. Robot is amazing. This is a US drama thriller, very smart, very cynical. It stars Rami Malek, starring as a hacker who's addicted to morphine and terribly socially dysfunctional, but is invited by an anarchist played by Christian Slater to turn his IT skills against corporate America. So it's this kind of sort of TV Occupy Wall Street that's going on. It has all sorts of twists and turns, and I was really fascinated by hearing people from the IT industry saying, finally, we've got a show about, you know, technology and hacking that doesn't dumb things down. So you had a smart, cynical show, Mr. Robot. You can see that. I think it's still showing on Presto and Foxtel as well, if you want to catch up on Mr. Robot.
Well, that sounds great too. At number three, Unreal, your pick. Tell us about Unreal.
Well, Unreal, I've mentioned a couple of times. This is the satire of the making of a reality TV show. And for me, this did to reality TV what Frontline did for Current Affairs. is because it pulls back the curtain. So there are actors playing the producers making a sort of a bachelor show. So we see the choices that they have to make, the lies that go on. It is morally bankrupt. It is very, very funny as well. And more than just showing you how sort of reality TV is made, you actually get invested in the characters and the story arcs that go on as well. I watched a lot of this one in a binge, Unreal. It will be coming to SBS2 next year as well. That is the good news.
Okay. And the good news for the ABC that we come in at number two with The Secret River.
Well, how could I not put this on the list based on Kate Grenville's novel? I mean, Sarah Snook, what a year she has had in both this and The Beautiful Lie. Look, this one really, it had it all, the rich personal story, the stunning backdrops, the cinematography, and this microcosm of the Indigenous experience. That second episode where the local mob are under attack was a powder keg, Fran, of emotion and brutality. A great cast with Sarah Snook, Lockie Hume, and Oliver Jackson Cohen, The Secret River.
Okay, well, drum roll, please. At number one, we have...
One thing that was very telling that Bob said, he said, all my life I've had more money than I could spend, and it didn't make me happy.
She talked on the telephone with her husband, then she vanished, and no one has seen Kathleen Durst since.
Durst was wanted for murder in Texas. He was a suspect for murders in Los Angeles and Westchester County, New York.
The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. Why is The Jinx number one?
Well, Fran, it's pretty rare that you binge your way through six episodes of a documentary, but that's exactly what I did with this gripping HBO documentary. Now, look, I'd never heard of Robert Durst until I sat down to watch this. He is a 72-year-old New Yorker who led a rather charmed life as the son of a property mogul, but he's been implicated, Fran, in at least three cases of missing persons or murdered ex-wives, but never been in incriminated. Now, for some bizarre reason, Robert Durst agreed to talk to documentary filmmakers, the people who made Capturing the Freedmans many years ago, against the advice of his lawyers and what they have on camera. His conversations, the news footage, the recreations that they do, which are done very well, because normally recreations I get very nervous about. This was gripping. I found myself thinking, is this guy guilty or did he just love the cameras? What is going on here? So there was this whole sort of episodic arc that would lead up to these cliffhangers with each episode that had me hooked. I had to watch them all in one go. And the thing I want to say about The Jinx is that after the documentary aired, there was new evidence from this documentary that led to him being arrested again. So, as I say, 2015, a strong year for documentaries, and The Jinx was the best of them.
Yeah, strong year in documentaries, and documentary takes out number one position in David Knox's top five picks for this year. As always, there's not complete agreement with you and I. For instance, Homeland Series 4-5, what are we up to now? That's a crack. I don't know why you missed that one. And I am interested that The Beautiful Lie didn't get a Guernsey.
Oh, look, I certainly enjoyed Beautiful Lie. Look, there were a number of shows that, you know, it's always, how can I choose five, Fran? And I want to qualify this by, of course, saying I only choose new seasons. So Homeland, Game of Thrones, those ones ineligible in my view because I like to look at, okay, how can we define 2015? But, yeah, Beautiful Lie, a fantastic ensemble there.
All right. Well, David, you've given me plenty to do over summer and everyone else too. Just to remind you, number one from David in 2015, The Jinx, number two, Secret River, number three, Unreal, number four, Mr. Robot, and number five, Prison Songs. And we'll put that list on the Breakfast website. David Knox, thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
David Knox, and have you ever heard anyone so excited and passionate about television? It's fantastic. He'll be back with us next year, helping you wend your way through the TV guide every week. TVtonight.com.au if you want to catch more of David's television intelligence.